Oil is still falling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Good morning. Glad you can join me as Marketplace continues to cover the financial crisis fallout. The commodity price boom of the past couple years is officially over. The price of oil, which led the way, has dropped to $58 a barrel this morning. That's close to a two-year low. More now from Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
It's hard to imagine that prices have tumbled 60% from a record $147 a barrel in midsummer. The reason is simple. The global economy is slowing and there's less demand. What's amazing is that OPEC has already slashed production by at least 800,000 barrels a day in an attempt to curb the price drop. And the organization may cut supplies by an additional million barrels a day when it meets next month. Consumers are feeling the short-term benefits of the demand drop. A gallon of gas costs an average of $2.22 right now. That's down 88 cents from a year ago. Meanwhile, the head of the International Energy Agency is looking beyond the current economic crisis and says the world is still going to have to deal with a looming supply crunch in the years ahead. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Here's the way the stock markets are going right now. Whenever there's a boost to the economy, a bailout, a stimulus package, a good profit report, whatever it is, stocks get a small bump, then that quickly disappears. Same story this morning. In Asia, the markets closed about a percent lower. European shares are down just a fraction so far. The Dow fell another 2% yesterday, 176 points to 86.93. The NASDAQ fell 35 to 1580. And the S&P 500 dropped 20 points to close at 898. Yesterday, Citibank said it would take steps to help keep people out of foreclosure. And the government said it would speed up the renegotiation of loans under Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. This idea of helping homeowners who took on mortgages they now can't afford, not everyone likes that. Alisa Roth reports.
Nobody seems to know how many homeowners would benefit from these or similar plans. But hedge funds, for one, think they're a terrible idea. Back in the day, hedge funds bought up a lot of these mortgages as securities. And the way the economy's going these days means they're losing money left and right.
This heightens that pressure because they will find payments coming in at lower rates than they contracted for.
Susan Wachter is a real estate professor at the Wharton School, and she says some politicians are worried the plans reward risky behavior.
What message are we sending going forward in terms of the mistakes people have made in entering into these mortgages?
Wachter thinks the real point's that nobody thinks modifying loans is a brilliant idea. It's just that the consequences of not modifying them would be so damaging. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
We've been doing this series, What's the Fix?, asking for solutions to the financial crisis. Australia's Treasury Secretary put in his two cents today. Ken Henry says the threat of recession could evaporate if people just started thinking positive. He blames the world's economic woes on fractured confidence. And instead of talking ourselves into worse outcomes, we should just smile.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by Clarkson Potter, publishers of The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, a holiday gift idea for people who love to eat. Now available at splendidtable.org.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has joined the chorus calling for a bailout of the auto industry. And this week, the Treasury gave insurance company AIG more money. The government allowed American Express to become a bank just so it can get a piece of the rescue package. Enough already, says commentator Robert Reich.
When a big company that gets into trouble is more valuable living than dead, there's a well-established legal process for reorganizing it called Chapter 11 of the Bankruptcy Code. Under it, creditors take some losses, shareholders even bigger ones, some managers' heads roll, companies clean up their books and get a fresh start, and taxpayers don't pay a penny. So why exactly is the Treasury substituting government bailouts for Chapter 11? Even assuming Wall Street's major banks and insurance giant AIG are so important to the economy they can't be allowed to fail, they don't have to be bailed out. They could be reorganized under bankruptcy protection. Their creditors, shareholders, and executives would take bigger hits than they're now taking. Now the taxpayers are bailing them out, but they took the risk. We didn't. It would be different if Main Street was getting something out of all of this, but credit still isn't flowing to small businesses or distressed homeowners, and unemployment is skyrocketing. There's more at stake for Main Street when it comes to American automakers, now on the edge of bankruptcy, because 2.5 million households depend directly or indirectly on them for their paychecks. But the best way to protect all these people is not necessarily to pay off the automakers, creditors, shareholders, and executives with no strings attached. When the government bailed out Chrysler in the early 1980s, a third of its employees were laid off. In order to keep auto workers employed and also move Detroit to more fuel-efficient cars, all stakeholders will have to sacrifice. What a tragedy it would be if the government spends so much on these bailouts there isn't enough money left for the next administration to help average people get affordable health insurance, send their kids to good schools, and find good jobs, including jobs rebuilding the nation's crumbling infrastructure and finding alternative sources of energy. You see, it's not the big guys who need rescuing. It's the small. And right now, the government has its priorities upside down.
Robert Reich is an economic advisor to Barack Obama, and he's the author of the book Super Capitalism. What do you think? Share your thoughts with us. There's a place to do that online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.